Do I play hockey? Well, I play air hockey, ball hockey, bird hockey, bubble hockey, field hockey, floor hockey, ice hockey, kitchen hockey, room hockey, roller hockey, table hockey, Swiss hockey. And I play hockey, 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 hockey.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, and anything else with ears, welcome back to the Battling Jesters podcast. His name is Eddie.
And his name is Jesse.
And if you can see us, you are definitely driving too close. Boy, it feels good to be back.
It has been a while, sir.
I don't think we've done a pod since, what, last September?
Close to that, yes, definitely been, since before the hockey season.
Yeah, well, hockey is what we are here to talk about today, tonight, tomorrow, wherever you are. Imagine if they were listening to this tomorrow.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, because it's still today.
Yeah.
I just blew your mind.
What if today was tomorrow and tomorrow was today?
What if?
When will now be then, sir?
Soon. Soon, please. Yeah, that's not going to load. So, we are here. We've got some things to talk about. Our first episode we're going to talk about
is the Columbus Blue Jackets and their wonderful season of whatever it was.
The Columbus Blue Jackets and their wonderful season of whatever it was. That makes for a great title. So, we will start with the season.
Yes.
The team finished in ninth.
Just outside of the playoffs.
Tragically. They played, we'll say, good enough to make it, but not good enough to make it. I would say it's probably the best season we've had, except for the year we actually made the playoff run.
I would actually even say this might have been even a better season, especially the way it ended.
Yeah. I mean, the run this team made, let's go back to the Dallas game. I mean, we'll just throw this out there. We'll throw our feet right into the fire. You know what I'm talking about?
Which Dallas game?
The game where Bobrovsky basically lost his mind.
You mean losing?
Yeah. It was the game before the streak started. The team didn't know who their goaltender was going to be. Honestly, I believe our friend Shane had said that we could stick a fork in the team right then and there because we were up a goal. Bobrovsky gave up a soft one. We scored again in the third. He gave up another soft one. We were up one more time. He gave up a late goal, and then he gave up the winning goal in overtime. I think the final score was 6-5.
In overtime?
Yeah.
I see one Tuesday, February 26th against the Stars, where the Stars were the visitors here at home,
mm-hmm.
And it was a 5-4.
5-4.
Overtime.
Loss. So basically, Bobrovsky melted away into nothingness. And I remember making the comment that I didn't even know why we signed this guy because it was embarrassing. It was truly embarrassing to watch him tend the net, and not that Mason had been any better. The entire team had been horrible.
The whole entire team at that point. I mean, the only thing that we had going for us is we had already beaten Detroit twice that year.
Right.
At that point, we were like, woohoo, we've beat Detroit.
I believe at the time, Prospel was our leading goal scorer, and Tootin was our leading point getter. So you could say we were in a really bad spot.
Yes.
Well, after that game, everything changed.
Pretty much.
I don't know what Todd Richards did, but I don't know what Bobrovsky and Coach Ian Clark did.
Or what happened with the general manager happening to be fired.
Yeah, that too. But regardless, after that game, everything changed. The entire team just banded together, played fantastic defensive hockey. Bobrovsky, and it seemed like every game that I went to, he was getting ran into and smashed into the posts, and he would get back up and he would save every shot. And it was just unbelievable. Even when Mason was at his best, he wasn't that good.
No. The thing about Mason, though, was the year that Mason was good and he had the 10 shutouts and everything like that,
mm-hmm.
and was almost possible up for the Vezina.
Mm-hmm. I think he finished second.
I don't think he was in. I don't remember.
He was there. It was the year Tim Thomas won.
I know Tim Thomas won it, but I thought he was just taken voted out of it.
No, he was there. He was either second or third.
Okay. But beyond the point. The thing that made Mason good was how he was supposedly down with mono.
Indeed.
How he also had death threats coming from a Calgary Flame fan from Dublin.
Right. Which was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Like, what are you going to really do? Really, what are you trying to do?
I would say the main difference between Bobrovsky's success and between Mason's success would be the defense in front of them. Mason was very much benefited by the fact that he had Jan Hayda and probably the best professional year that Mike Commodore ever had.
No, I would say Mike Commodore had a better year when he was on Carolina. And
they won the cup. Okay, so, but still, it was easily...
Absolutely, it was one of his better years.
Yeah.
And he played what Hitchcock wanted.
Yeah.
Shut down defense.
Those two defensemen basically bashed every head that got near Mason. He didn't have to see shots. He didn't have to worry about crazy angles and everything.
Jan Hayda is a plus 15 at the end of the year.
Yeah. Jan Hayda, the all-time leader in Blue Jackets plus minus. That guy's a stud. I mean, I know that same team had Chris Russell, and I know, was Backman on that team?
I don't think so.
Tootin was there. Tootin and Klesla, Chris Russell, and was it Strawman then?
No, it wasn't Strawman.
No, it was before Strawman.
Yeah.
Whoever it was. Tootin played well. Klesla played well.
Defensemen.
Huh?
Master Shake.
Yeah.
Chris Russell.
They played well. Bobrovsky's defensive pairings in front of them were Johnson and Tootin when Tootin was healthy. Wisniewski and...
Johnson when they decided to put those together, which was a horrible idea.
Right. Really, I want to say the only defenseman that really made a big difference was Dalton Prout. The moment that Dalton Prout got called up when a coin went down the second time, it turned everything around because he brought a grittiness that you didn't see with those other guys.
Yeah, he was always hitting everyone.
Like, Mafat. That's who the other defenseman was.
Yeah.
Duh.
But yeah,
wow.
He was always hitting.
I'm sorry.
Prout was definitely hitting everybody.
Yeah.
Who was the other defenseman that we brought up a couple times? Was it LeBlanc?
Golubev.
Yeah, Golubev.
Golubev was all right.
He was very good positionally.
Yeah.
He wasn't. Thank God a coin didn't stay in the ice that much to me.
The thing about a coin, and I talked to my boss about it, and my boss, of course, you know, he's a huge, gigantic hockey fan.
He's a bigger hockey fan than we are.
Right. The thing he said was the reason a coin was brought in was to teach the young defenseman to be solid and not to be seen. And a lot of times they say the best thing about a defenseman is if you don't have to say his name.
Which is the problem with Tootin sometimes is because he plays so well, but then he makes that one horrible...
Yeah. And he does it every game. He'll play beautiful shutdown defense, and then he will make one egregious error.
And then everyone goes, oh, it's all Tootin's fault. You go,
no.
Did you see everything else that was going on the whole game?
Right. So with that in mind, I think Bobrovsky's might be a little more impressive, but you also have to keep in mind that Mason was battling mono, was 19 years old at the time. I mean,
the other great thing about Bobrovsky is honestly just that final game where he sat on his head and stopped. Not 10 shots in like 9 seconds.
Yeah, that was the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
Live in person, I was just sitting there going, "What is going? Where is any? What? It, what?"
Yeah,
and then it's over.
Yeah, I know.
You just sit there going, "How did that puck did not go in the net?"
Yeah, it was special. I don't think I've seen anything like that before.
Tim Thomas, like that.
It was just that for two years.
That style of goalie where it's like I'm battling.
Dominik Hasek.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, Dominik Hasek, that was every day of his career, though.
It's that style where it's just like I'm battling the puck. You're not getting it past me.
Right.
No,
you can shoot all you want.
I'm going to have somehow put a body part in front of it.
Yeah. A leg kick here. Well, and that was one of the things about Mason was he would kick a leg out from out of nowhere and... Bobrovsky's making saves with his head.
Mason was more structurally, positionally sound, controlled goalie, like a Patrick Waugh style type goalie that if he ever figures it out again, will probably be good.
And it's funny because the two big flaws in Mason's game at the time were glove side high and five hole, and he corrected glove side high. But he also changed the way he shifts in net, and that left him a lot more exposed.
Yeah.
So
and I also think that Mason, after that first year where the defense collapsed around him, he no longer trusted his own D to help him anymore, so he overplayed pucks a lot of times.
Well, I wouldn't trust my D either if it was Strowman and Russell in front of me. But we're getting away from ourselves. As much as people think that Bobrovsky was the only player for the Jackets this year, he wasn't. Aforementioned, Jack Johnson had his moments. I think he got caught out of position more than any of the other defensemen, though.
Oh, I would say James Wisniewski.
Wisniewski and Johnson both. And I don't want to blame Wisniewski as much because he's been hurt so much. I'd like to see what he looks like a full year healthy, but if he's going to be, you know, there were times where he would skate over to pursue and leave a guy wide open and we'd give up an easy goal.
I think he's past his prime. I think Wiz.
Ouch.
Yeah, all right. It's what I feel. He was kind of past his prime when he did the blowjob Sid roll to what's his name?
Oh, that was pretty funny
for the Rangers. and that was his last year ever having a full season under his belt with 70 plus games.
Right. Really, so, only I think.
I mean, Wizware is kind of what he's doing now. So. Yeah.
And Wiz is a good guy. I mean, I've met Wiz. He's a great guy.
All of the players are great people.
Yeah.
I hope that he's working his butt off this offseason to make sure he's strength and condition for a full season.
Right, because there is a guy knocking on the door in Ryan Murray that could take that spot.
And a few others down there.
Right, exactly. Well, defensively, I don't know if there's a lot to comment on that we haven't already said. Dalton Proud, Adrian Acoin, I mean, it was just a cavalcade of players circling around with the injuries that all popped up.
Which is what you're going to have every single year.
Right, and it's hard to believe that we played with so many rookies and youngsters, and we did so well. But really, Bobrovsky did do a bang-out job.
When he got his head turned around and said, okay, you know what, I need to play solid goaltender, and but to hell with you defense if you can't help me. And he did it.
Yep. I think the best part about this season was it was just every game was a one-goal game. Every game. And it was like you were capped. Well, I think there was like a stretch where if you didn't count empty netters, it was like 20-some straight games. I know Rimmer and them kept commenting it on TV on every time, being like, you know, once again, the Jackets, another one-goal game. That's this and that in a row.
I'm just looking over this stuff right now.
Yeah, and so, you know, the team was really captivating, except for that loss to Minnesota. And that was kind of the derailer where we got knocked off 4-0.
And that's when it was really, that was when we knew probably weren't going to make the playoffs.
Well, we still had a very good shot, but the teams ahead of us also kind of did their thing, at Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
But at that point, you have to hope that other teams lose.
Yeah. That's playoffs
not
for you.
That's usually happens.
No.
that's the year that we made the playoffs. People were hoping we would lose, but we did.
We did, and it cost us because rather than playing a team we could beat, we got stuck behind Detroit.
Yeah.
Now, what was our final record against Detroit last year?
Oh, we were undefeated, sir.
Yeah. Is that not the coolest thing?
Except that Detroit fans will always go, how many cups have you won?
Right.
Or, hey, were you in the playoffs?
Good story. My first game of the year, we played Detroit, of course. I was sitting down in my seats that I had won from something. I don't even remember. But I was sitting with our friends Zach and Andrew, and the guys behind us were Leafs, Wings fans, and they were
about the same.
They made the comment that Pavel Datsyuk is the best player in the world.
Well, I mean, I really can't. Really argue with that, in my opinion.
But
he's definitely probably better than Crosby.
Their follow-up, better than Malkin, Ovechkin, Tavares, Stamkos.
Could possibly, I mean, all-around player, probably.
He's in the argument.
Yeah, he's definitely in the
he's
top.
He's definitely in the argument.
I'd say he's in the top 10.
But then another Red Wings fan said that Pavel Datsyuk was the best person who had ever played for the Red Wings.
Well, that's kind of a stupid argument.
And okay, maybe he hadn't been watching before the 90s, but even then, Fedorov, Yzerman, Lidstrom.
Well, Lidstrom nobody cares about because he's a defense.
The greatest defenseman of our era. I mean,
how many defenseman trophies did you win? Norris trophy?
Right. All of them. all of them. But it's, the Wings, you know, we had their number, and they should not have finished. They, I mean, I was upset when they hopped us. And
I think it's due to the fact that we just couldn't beat the Blackhawks at all.
Nobody could beat the Blackhawks this year, and we're going to talk about that in our next episode.
That's true.
What are we looking at on time right now?
I have no idea. Why do you keep asking me these things? Why don't you just keep going with
this?
This
is the first time I've asked you.
Yeah, it's only 15 minutes.
My goodness gracious. So, Blue Jackets.
To the offensive side.
Yeah. Prosper, as we mentioned, despite being ridiculously old and incredibly slow, was one of our best offensive contributors.
Don't forget about the Artie party.
Artem Anisimov, for all intents and purposes, Artem Anisimov had 11 goals and 8 assists this year.
Yep.
That was it.
Well, for a
I know he was injured for, what, 10 games? But
so in those 10 games, he probably could have scored about or more, so he would have had 15 goals, probably another 5 or 6 assists.
The thing I said about Anisimov was we hadn't seen flash like that, and I know people hate to admit it, but Carter, obviously, was flashy like that. Before Carter, I would say Zverev.
Zverev completely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we hadn't seen a flashy player like that in a while, and Anisimov has that flash. He has that dazzle. He has, I mean, he may not score 50 goals like a Stamkos or an Ovechkin, but he has
I want him to have 20, 25 a year.
Yeah, he has the ability to make things happen where things aren't happening. And that's what the Blue Jackets have lacked for a long time.
That is true.
Big trade, of course, in the offseason. Anisimov, Dubinsky, and Erickson. Erickson also played a great role in the defense.
Yes,
I think he's
did.
A future stud.
Oh, yeah, he was totally
We are remiss in not mentioning him.
Yeah, I'm actually quite amazed that we both forgot him.
I'm embarrassed.
Well, you know what? That just proves that he was playing a great defenseman.
Right, because we're not mentioning him. No, I think he has the potential for 10 goals in a full season, so maybe 10-30.
Ryan Murray and Erickson on a team match.
Oh,
together?
Put Erickson and Prout on the line. One guy shut him down and one guy light him up. It'd be beautiful. Offensively, Dubinsky,
got injured as well.
Yeah, I don't want to say he was disappointed because I feel like he was injured the entire year. He never really looked like he was up to full speed.
And that's probably due to the whole lockout season or anything like that. But you can't knock, from what I kept hearing, Dubinsky in the locker room being the guy that was just like, we're going out and we're going to win.
Right, and you need that. You need that nip in the butt. So
I mean, as much as supposedly our great hero that wears Blue Jackets tattooed on his chest, Umberger, where was he again?
A lot of people dog Umberger, but he scored a lot more than most of the guys on the team. And I hate to use that as an argument, and I used it in an argument earlier this year where somebody was dogging somebody else, and I was like, well, he only has this that many points, and I was like, well, Umberger has that many points too. I was like, it goes both ways, it does.
Yeah.
Honestly, Umberger is a 2020 guy right now. I don't know why people expect him to be otherwise.
Because we pay him more?
The contract was a mistake, but for people to continually ride on it when Umberger is solely a 2020 guy, it's kind of old. He throws his body around. He probably hits harder than anybody on the offensive side. He knows how to play his position. He's great shorthanded. I mean, you can't argue. He's probably one of our better penalty killers. So, I mean, Umberger does what he's supposed to do. He just doesn't score like people want him to.
So I was just looking over the whole entire Western Conference win-loss ratio. Do you know the Detroit Red Wings had one less loss than we did, but had exactly the same amount of wins and just one extra overtime loss.
It's those OTLs that'll get you at the end of the year.
So their points, even though we were, do you know, wait a minute, that can't, oh no, never mind. I was looking at something else wrong.
It's that stupid SOL column.
We had the exact same amount of points as Minnesota Wild, though. But they had more wins by 2.
All of that is irrelevant. We didn't make the playoffs, and they did.
I just looking at it like saying the same amount of points. It's just amazing.
Yeah. But you were saying Umberger. Also, I know a lot of people heaped a lot of praise on Calvert.
Calvert and Atkinson.
Calvert. I want to start with Calvert. I think before this year, he had no defensive ability at all. And after playing half the year in Springfield, he came up and he showed us that he could actually play defense.
Yeah.
And that was nice. Atkinson, he's a spark plug. He just, once he gets everything tied together, I think he'll be a pretty good player.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't kick goals in.
Yeah, right. I could see him being like a Marty St. Louis, probably a 20-50 guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be all right with 20-50 from him. I think he's fast enough to make things happen where things aren't happening.
I think those two together just, they seem to gel so well together, too.
It's odd, but they do play together well. I know we made a trade mid-season. That was pretty huge while we're talking about offense. We got Marion Gaborik, which shocked the life out of me.
The magic stick?
I love Gaborik. I've always loved him. Last time he was up for free agency, I said we should have made a push for him. The irony, of course, is that he was the guy that the Blue Jackets wanted to draft, but they lost the coin flip, so they got Klesla. And to each their own, Klesla did a lot of good for us.
At the time.
And
sure.
Gaborik did a lot for Minnesota, but now he's with us, oddly enough.
And I think he had enough of the limelight in New York. The question will be, after this coming season,
does he resign?
Did he not like the limelight of New York because it's New York and there's too much media? Or did he not like the limelight of New York because of John Tortorella?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'm wondering how Tortorella is going to mesh with the Sedins.
When you lose the one goaltender, the coach that is the player's coach, the next coach that comes in is always the fire-up coach.
Right.
But the thing about Torts that I always loved is he is a fire-up coach, but he takes it to heart when someone in the media starts attacking one of his players.
Yeah, and that's good.
He will stand in front of them unless he decides to. He only threw the Rangers under the bus once this season.
And now he's out of a job.
Yeah.
So, but we did get Gaborik for Dorsett.
Dorsett, which everyone wear.
God forbid we lost a guy whose potential is 10 points a year and 200 penalty minutes. I'm really not hurt by that.
Wait, he's more than 10 points. He had, what,
10 goals and 5 assists last year? Yeah, I know. I hate to say it. Dorsett, also a great guy, a good team leader, not the kind of guy you want to build your team around. What if we had 10 Derek Dorsetts? Well, then we wouldn't score any goals.
But we'd knock every team out.
Yeah, but we would not score any goals.
We would fight every goaltender and would score after that.
No goals.
Okay. And
Broussard.
And Broussard,
who
clearly showed up after he left here.
Yeah, he led the Rangers in points in the playoffs.
But that's because he does that kind of stuff. He's very streaky of a player.
Yeah, and the same thing with Vermette.
If you remember him here as a Blue Jacket, the year that he was a rookie, he was rookie of the year potential until he got injured.
True. He had 10-15 in 25 or 26 games, yeah.
So he's streaky.
Yeah, I think he's a good center. I think he has the ability. He just has to do it.
I think I'd laugh. I'd be laughing my butt off if I was him going, oh goody, I get to center Rick Nash. Okay.
I would be more than happy if Brass came out next year, had 20 goals and 60 assists. I'd be more than happy. I think the guy has the ability. He just doesn't do it. So,
I wouldn't be happy for him because that would mean that he's doing it against us since we're in the same
league. I guess. Well, he's gone. Gaborik hopefully will be a big contributor in the future.
Yeah.
We also made a couple more trades at the deadline. Steve Mason. Bye-bye, Mason. Sorry, best of luck. And with the Flyers buying out Brizgalov, Mason is, the report is, he's going to be their number one guy.
To start at least, to see what he can do.
So why not? If not, they can, you know, trade for Ray Emery again. It was Brian Boucher that led them to the playoffs a couple years ago.
Yep,
him and Layton. So, I mean...
And our guy, Bobrovsky, was on that team that year.
He wasn't.
It was three of them.
No. It was Emery was the third guy.
Was it?
They drafted Bobrovsky because they needed a goalie.
Okay,
that was
so
the next
year.
Year
after that they made the Stanley Cup.
It was Emery, and Emery got hurt. So they brought in Leighton and Boucher, and that's ridiculous that those three did so well. Emory went 18-1-1 this year while we're talking about Emory. But anyways,
hey, President's Cup.
There's a reason why Chicago won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah,
so
the President's Cup.
But Mason's gone, and so who else did we trade? Oh, no, we traded a fourth-rounder for Blake Como.
Yeah, which was just to get somebody on. And Como, when he came in, played pretty well.
Yeah, I think he was about as good of an addition to the fourth line as we could have had. Replacing Dorsett with him, such a good move, because Como plays excellent defensive hockey.
Yes, he does, and he's a much bigger man that can actually fight
in
the middleweight or in the heavyweight division.
Right, and you put him on the line with McKenzie. I mean, that they just gelled perfectly, the two of them.
And how about McKenzie this year?
How about McKenzie every year?
I'm just saying that it seems like he was playing even better.
That's because he grew the mustache back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I had a conversation with him, and he said he'd grow it back, and he did.
Power of the stash?
Yeah. Well, he remembered me. He remembered me for the whole stash thing. And I was like, that's pretty cool that you remember me, like, but you need to grow your mustache back. Another guy that was in his first year with us was Nick Foligno. Maybe my favorite player on the team.
Bobrovsky.
That's annoying. Nick Foligno, great on the defensive side.
Every time at the end of the game, going up to Bobrovsky and hugging him.
Foligno was good with passing the puck. He is good doing. He did exactly what he was supposed to do all year. Yeah, a full year of Foligno. I think he's a 2050 guy as well.
Yeah.
2040 probably. Stands up for his teammates. Does good on the penalty kill.
And by also, we kind of forgot, even forgetting about Jared Bull, who, again...
I'm not forgetting about Jared Bull. He's not...
Surprisingly...
Yeah.
Besides leading the league in fights, like he does, like, seems to every year.
As he should.
Well, he shouldn't. He doesn't need to do that every year. He's actually learning, I think, as well, in his fighting style or in his win... To actually fight and not just fight because.
Fight for the sake of fighting.
I think he's getting the fights that will help move the momentum back to the Blue Jackets' side instead of fighting when it could actually lose the momentum.
Yeah, and he actually played some very solid defensive hockey. I think if he could score, he'd be a pretty complete player.
Well, he always has that one or two goals a year that you just go,
wow.
How did you score that?
Wow.
You did. There's no room. How did you put the puck in there?
Right. So.
Yeah, I mean, and who else do we got there that we need to talk about? I mean, obviously there was the Umberger that everyone can have the arguments about here or there.
Right.
Shoot. Really should have pulled up the stats.
No, that's all right. I mean, top line, you've got your Umberger. You've got your Dubinsky and your Anisimov. You got your Prospol with Foligno and who's the center for that line?
Was it?
Maybe that was Dubinsky and Gabrick was top line. Third line, Calvert, Artie.
Atkinson.
Fourth line, Bowl, McKenzie, and Como.
Yeah.
Como's a free agent. I wouldn't mind if we resigned him.
Yeah, let him test the waters. See.
I mean, he's worth a million.
Let him come to training camp and let him test the waters. If he finds something better, we can pick up. I mean, we have Boone Jenner coming up.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I mean, these are all the things.
Yeah.
I mean, I personally think Boone Jenner should probably start in the minors.
Probably.
Just to give him a little bit of a taste there.
Well, he only played like 13 games with them.
Because that was...
Because he was done with his OHL?
Yeah, OHL yeah. career. So, I mean, you put him in the junior... Or you put him in the A for a little bit so he learns to love the plane and not expect the
right.
plane. Right.
Like, I'm Boone Jenner. I should be the starter, even though he wasn't even a first-round pick.
Yeah.
The only big question mark on the team right now is backup goaltender.
Backup goal?
Because obviously the team has already stated that they are going to sign Bobrovsky. They just need to get to the right numbers.
Yeah.
So the team did give Curtis McElhinney a one-way deal, which doesn't mean he won't go to Springfield. He would just have to jump a few hurdles. But the most recent report is that Mika Kiprusov, who wants to retire, was being pursued by the Blue Jackets.
That makes no sense. Kiprusov is clearly, he's already even it.
He's old. Out,
he had one more year left on his contract,
yeah.
And he's already said it was a joke year on the contract. I'm retiring without right. even getting that money.
Right, and he's been with Calgary his entire career.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't leave Calgary either.
Well, I mean, he's leaving. He's leaving Calgary for the country.
Right.
He's going back home.
Honestly, outside of that, there aren't any quote unquote question marks on the team. Now,
I say there's still question marks on both defense and on offense a little bit. I mean, because unless we are going to be like the Phoenix Coyotes of the Eastern Conference and score by committee.
Right. Well, it worked for them that year.
Huh?
It worked for them.
It's worked for them every once in a while, but it doesn't always work.
It worked for the Flyers. I mean,
well, I don't know about that. I mean, the year that the Flyers were good, they had Jager scoring lots of goals.
That's right. They had Jager.
They had Jager.
Gosh, why do we always forget about Jager on this show? The mullet.
And, they also had, what's his name? The
Carter
Claude
and Richards.
Lemieux.
Giroux.
Claude Lemieux. Claude Giroux.
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 Not Claude Lemieux. He doesn't score a lot of goals.
Well, he hits a lot of people.
Yeah.
In the wrong way.
Like Scott Hartnell.
I don't see us making a big signing on the offensive side.
Well, I mean, we have all these draft picks as well.
Uh-huh.
That looking at, I say, with, what, the 14th pick
mm-hmm.
in the NHL?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a player?
Could be.
A player prospect?
Well, the teams that are rebuilding that could lease out players... Like Colorado has already stated, they're not going to get rid of Stastny or Duchesne.
Well, they don't want to. They're young guys.
Stastny's not.
Yeah.
But regardless, Vinny LeCavalier is out there, but he's not coming to Columbus. I mean, Mike Ribeiro's out there. I wouldn't sign him because that'd be $4 million for a guy
That's
who's
what
as
I'm
slow as.
For we need to trade for a player to get a player because I don't.
I don't think we can get like a true game changer just with the 14th pick, though.
Well, I mean,
and everybody wants to package in Umberger like that's enticing teams. It's not.
That's a cap hit for any team.
Right. Or Wisniewski, also not very enticing.
Cap hit, yeah.
So
Johnson's much more of an enticing choice if you're going to choose either of the two.
Right.
And nobody wants to think about ever trading Captain America.
Right. I think we're fine on the defensive side. They just need to learn their roles. I mean, if those guys don't do good, then we have Teddy Ruth and Golubev and Ryan Murray. I mean, we have...
There was another defenseman that was really good this year, Ruth.
Ruth didn't play for us this year.
I thought he came up once. Who did?
Golubev.
There was another one.
What was his name? We called up so many people. We called up Odie Marchuso. We called up... I mean, Drazenovic, we called up, was it Nick Holden?
Maybe Holden.
Okay, I don't know. We called up a lot of guys, but we have plenty of players defensively.
Yeah.
Dalton Prout being one that should stay.
Yeah. And, I mean, when we see, if I also think Ryan Murray should start in the A as well.
Right, because he didn't play last year.
Well, he was injured.
Right, that's my point.
But still the same idea applies. Make him love the plane and not expect
right.
the plane.
Let him earn the job. Yeah. So,
whether or not he earns the job, it's still go play down there where there actually are big boys that
right.
will try to hurt you.
Right.
Learn to not want to be on the bus.
Right.
Is basically what I'm saying. Learn to not want to be on the bus so you play your ass off.
I agree.
In the NHL.
I agree. But like I said, defense, we're not going to make a move. I can guarantee that. If we do make a trade, it will be for a forward. Having Gaborik really helps us. If we could get, like, a top-line center to play with Gaborik.
Or a trade for a goaltender, another goaltender. We'll have a 1A and 1B.
Bobrovsky is one.
Yeah, but
that's already decided. That's one.
Well, you could have like a Luongo show up somehow magically, or Ryan Miller in my help.
I'll take Ryan Miller.
Yeah.
I'll take Ryan Miller every day. He's a cool dude.
Michigan State Spartan.
Hey, I met him when he played there. Him and Umberger, they were cool. I didn't meet Marty Turco. I wish I had met Marty Turco because he set basically every NCAA record that year that they won the year that Ohio State went to the Frozen Four and Turco, Michigan won the championship. So,
all right. So we figured out pretty much what the Blue Jackets are there. Do you want to go on to the complete entire NHL?
Well, we should probably take a quick commercial break, say a word to our sponsors.
Which, by the way, we have done.
We have no sponsors, so.
Oh, yeah, so no commercial break.
No commercial break. We don't get a break to, like, sit and take a drink and scratch our asses and stuff.
I guess we could do that if you want.
All right, yeah. So we're going to take a little break. We will come back in a little bit. We have a special little soundbite for you, a little commercial in between here. Hope you enjoy it.
Yep.
The Common Man and Torg. Nothing. They're a bunch of wannabes. The real Columbus radio sensation is the Battling Jesters, also known as Jesse and Eddie. They're kicking ass, they're taking names, they're getting ready to take over the Columbus airwaves. Go Battling Jesters!
Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
All right, well, thank you, Kevin, for that. I don't know if that claim is real, but thank you. And thank you to the late Stompin' Tom Collins for the intro there.
We're also still better than the Torg.
Yeah, well, isn't he on QFM now?
Something like that. The Torg and Wags.
Anyways, if you listen to the first half hour of the podcast, you realize that we left out three very important names. The most important of them is a guy from Middle-earth, Mark Letestu.
Otherwise known as Frodo.
I can't believe we forgot him. He basically came out and sparked the team's offense when we had none. Ryan Johansson, who took his licks in Springfield.
Yep.
He deserved it.
Came back and started playing much better.
Yeah. Next
that
year.
That was the other centerman that we have.
Yeah, that's who we forgot. Both of them. And Nikita Nikitin, yeah, who kind of regressed last year, and then he got hurt, so he was really bad. I don't know about really you, but we seem a lot louder now.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, whatever. I like being loud. So we're back. Thanks for all of our sponsors in between there. Wah, wah. So we are going to talk about the 2012-2013 hockey season now.
Yes, so to start that off with, which team do you care about more to talk about, the Chicago Blackhawks or the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Well, the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup, as I predicted.
I think I predicted that as well.
I would think that anyone with half a brain predicted it, even though some of the non-brain people that we know thought it would be the Bruins.
Well, during the, I think at the beginning of the season, I predicted the Blackhawks. I think during the that
unbeaten streak,
during that season or during that series, the final, I actually chose the Bruins because I really thought that they would eventually just beat down Kane and Taze and wear them tired.
Well, that was a great Stanley Cup Finals.
Almost nothing compares to it.
First game, triple overtime. Second game, back to overtime.
Third game, overtime.
Final game, just the comeback of comebacks.
17 seconds?
I heard it shattered the record for minutes between game-tying and game-winning goals, obviously. Wow. Hats off to the Blackhawks. They wanted it more.
They deserved it at that point.
They did their thing. Why do you want to talk about the Penguins?
I was just talking about, well, I mean, they also went through a undefeated streak as well, like actual undefeated streak.
Yep.
What, I think it was like 11 or 12 games in the middle of the
season.
They
had a good little run there.
like that was actually competing with the Boston Bruins,
yep.
Or not the Bruins, but the Miami Heat of their. Ooh, we had 12 undefeated games in
right,
a row.
Right. Well, oddly enough, both of those teams did win the championship.
Yeah, they did,
and it's their second in 4 years.
It's almost like the year that I remember in hockey when the Detroit Red Wings won 60 games in a season
mm-hmm.
and won the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
And the same year, the
Bulls won
70 games in the season.
Sweeps in the finals.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. excuse me. I don't know where that just came from. What was I going to say? The Penguins, of course, were led by Crosby and Malkin.
Malkin more than Crosby, in my opinion. But
well,
obviously, yeah.
There's no way that you can argue that if Crosby doesn't get hurt, he's the MVP.
Oh,
the season he was having before he got hurt
who
was
won the MVP. By the way,
Ovechkin.
Was it Ovi?
Yep.
Wow, I didn't think Ovi was going to win that.
I was hoping it would go to Tavares just to kind of buck the system.
I thought it should have gone. I think it should have really gone to Tavares. I mean, Ovi, yes, he got his team to the playoffs, but. Really? That South Least Division?
Yeah.
You can have a losing record and make it into the playoffs with that division.
It's like the NL West.
Yeah.
Crosby, Ovechkin, good for Ovechkin. Truly one of the great players of our era. Both of them. Both of them.
Offensively. He's amazing.
You want to talk about awards then?
Well, I was going to go also Crosby getting hit in the face with the puck.
Yeah, about that. People who...
Now that he... I cannot call him little crybaby Crosby because he came back within a month.
Yeah, that hurts.
That puck hit him at like 100 miles an hour.
And if you've never been hit with a puck in your life, it is thick, it is cold.
Imagine a baseball going 100 miles an hour at your head.
It's not even like that.
But it's sharper and in one section.
Not only is it sharp, but it's cold.
Yeah, but
so it's harder.
It's the same weight as a baseball. Is what a puck weighs. So that's the same idea.
Yeah. And Crosby took like 3 to the face in last year. So good for him coming back.
Yeah. I can't hate him enough, but...
he is what he is.
I respect him. I think Malkin is clearly the team player of the two, but they always give it to Crosby because he's a good old Canada boy. I'm going to do my Don Cherry here.
I'm playing, if you can't see, I'm playing Tom Cherry piano.
The good Ontario boy.
Oh,
and remember when I played for the Bruins that one day?
Those 4 games?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, remember that one time you were a really good coach? Oh.
Yeah. I used to be the best coach in the league until some guy in Washington took it, but that's because there's no ties.
Right. No ties in hockey.
remember that
Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith,
you fucking moron. So we can talk about playoffs, or we can talk about awards.
Well, also the playoffs was just an amazing playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, how many overtimes were there in the playoffs this year?
Approximately 67,000,
and every last one of them that was so much fun to sit up and watch.
Yeah, Boston versus Toronto.
Oh. What? Really? How do you lose?
I think the entire city of Toronto shut down that night. That was the most embarrassing thing I've
probably
seen.
Probably shut down the next day as well.
That was the most embarrassing thing I've
and
ever
that's
seen.
That's why their mayor smoked crack.
Yeah. I don't care about Toronto. It's a great city. But
I saw a funny picture. It was, welcome to Toronto. Our hockey team sucks, and our mayor smokes crack.
Yeah, well, that doesn't apply anymore because Toronto made the playoffs, and we didn't.
But hold on.
Our mayor also smokes crack.
The joke was about that was, did they steal that sign from Washington, D.C.?
Right. Toronto, also Ottawa, knocking off.
Go, mark my thought.
Yeah, Ottawa knocking off Montreal. Montreal was supposed to be... a contender for the cup?
Well, they're always a contender because they have a good
Ontario, Carey Price.
Ontario boy kid from hockey goalie.
I think the bigger news about the Canadians this year was Subban.
P.K. Subban?
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Yeah. And
he's always been awesome, though.
Yeah. And he won the Norris this year.
Yeah.
Hats off.
Much to some Penguins fans' chagrin.
Sorry.
Going, hey, how does he win it? Did you see him play?
Not to say that Letang didn't have a fantastic year either, but
nowhere compared to Seabank. Sorry,
they were both pretty good. But yeah, Montreal down in the first round surprised me, and the Sharks just annihilating the my goodness, AV deserved to lose his job. The Canucks. It was not a good day for Canada. It was not a good first round for Canada.
Hey, they got the Senators still left in the second round to go against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that and they kind of played them. I mean, they did. Pittsburgh was a wrecking ball. It was going to be Pittsburgh and Boston regardless. It honestly didn't matter who you threw at them.
Yeah, mind me, how many goals did the great, good Ontario boy Rick Nash score in the playoffs?
I don't know, but the Rangers made it pretty far on Derek Brassard's back. Wow.
I'm sorry.
Thanks a lot, Brass.
Rick Nash scored one goal.
One goal?
One goal.
Yeah, I think Brass had 12 points, I think. Entire Rangers team kind of shut down when they played the Bruins. So.
Well, Rick Nash doesn't want to play.
Yeah, well, hockey's not as fun as golf.
Oh, he loves. I mean,
you don't get checked in golf.
Carey Price gets off. Make sure he's off by May Day.
On the Western side, the Kings basically did the same thing they did last year.
Almost did it again.
They lit everybody up. John Quick.
Just being Jonathan Quick, playing Jonathan Quick style, the only team that he couldn't do it to was the Chicago Blackhawks.
Right, and Quick honestly didn't have as good of a regular season this year, and a lot of people were kind of saying, oh, he's a one-and-done kind of guy from last year, that he wouldn't repeat in the playoffs.
And he came back and told him, oh, by the way, yes, I will be America's goalie.
Yep. Well, Luongo's getting traded while we're talking about the West. They've already announced. Said,
I really don't think Luongo's going anywhere.
He said he's going to trade him.
Well, they can try to trade him.
The talk is they will trade him.
They can try to trade him, but it was proven in the first round of the playoffs that it wasn't Luongo's fault.
Right.
Corey Schneider stunk the bed worse than Luongo ever has.
He was
has.
Bad. The Sharks lit them up bad. Not to say that Niemi's not a good goalie, to say that the Sharks aren't a great
Niemi's
team.
A Stanley Cup champion.
Right, but with Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who else in the West? Obviously, Chicago. Chicago, I mean, honestly, the four teams that made it were the four teams I expected. Chicago and L.A.
Were the St. Louis Blues made the playoffs?
The Blues were a good team. The Red Wings didn't really go anywhere either. So
the Red Wings made it through the first round. They beat who?
The Wild kind of showed up, and they were embarrassing.
Wild didn't even show up.
No. And I'm not saying that the Blue Jackets would have done a lot better, considering it was Chicago they'd have to play, but...
But I think we would have kept it one-goal games all the way through.
Yeah, and they still would have lost.
I think we may have snuck one game.
Yeah, the Wild was an embarrassment to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And honestly, for all the money they put into that team with Parise and Suter... It didn't work out.
Well, they put all that money into just two guys.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not a team, by the way.
True.
Two guys is not a team, even though one's a forward and one's a defenseman.
A blue liner. So the playoffs ended. During the playoffs, the awards were announced.
Which
sucked.
Why do you do the awards?
Honestly, the award show isn't that big of a deal, though.
I understand, but you shouldn't do the award show like... Maybe a day that's not a playoff day, so everybody
right.
can show up.
Right. Notable award winners.
We've already said PK.
PK and
OB,
Ovechkin.
And now goaltender of the year, obviously.
Sergei
Bobrovsky. Number one cop on the force.
That's the dumbest thing ever.
No, it's still great. Jay Onright is hilarious.
Dumbest thing ever.
Jay Onright's hilarious.
I will argue with you until the day I die. That is the most annoying thing ever. But yes, Bobrovsky winning the Vezina. Deserved
God, that
it.
Trophy is
deserved
huge.
It.
That trophy's as big as he is.
Deserved it.
He totally deserved it, absolutely. I mean, the thing that I was worried about was because the East and West did not play each other this year, I was worried that the Western Conference judges were going to split the vote between the two of Antti Niemi and Bobrovsky and all the East voting for
And that did not happen.
Rangers.
And that did not happen. Thank God. As a matter of fact, Bobrovsky ran away with it.
Yeah, he did.
So,
I think it was probably that last game, too, the video process of that. Here's 9 shots in 8 seconds. And
right.
Bye-bye.
Nothing against Lundqvist or Niemi, but good God. Or Crawford or Rask.
King
or
Henrik.
Right. Now, he's a phenomenal goalie. Yeah. I mean, New York has not
and
given
we
him.
Still haven't found out who's going to be on the cover of EA, and I'm pretty sure I know why.
I don't know why it's that big of a deal either.
I know why it's probably not there yet. They don't want to put a Russian on the cover of EA unless he has a contract.
Here's the thing. Get the fuck over it. Everybody. Everybody, get over it.
Columbus, we want everything to be about
Columbus. No, Columbus, we want to find reasons to be offended when reasons don't exist.
Okay,
that's,
too.
That's how Columbus works.
Yeah,
it's pointless to make a big deal out of this
the OSU mentality.
Because if you look at and everybody's using like Twitter as an argument. Well, one day of Twitter voting versus you can vote as much as you want online. In fact, you can vote 10 times as much online.
You can vote, but the problem with the voting online there was it did take at least 3 seconds to vote it. With the Bobrovsky thing, you could just retweet somebody else's tweet.
Right.
And that takes you a second.
Regardless, if you looked at the numbers on Twitter, they were mere 1,000.
I'm
maybe.
Not saying, and
whereas I can guarantee the votes online were in the millions.
Oh,
so people saying that Bobrovsky did better on Twitter. Okay, in Brodeur's first round, he had like 7 votes on Twitter. It's not Twitter that matters.
No, it's not,
and that's the main argument people keep using. And it's like
I was going. The whole point of the Twitter thing was to go to the website and vote. Too.
Right.
They didn't because that had the NHL vote, here's the website, in
right.
a lot of the from EA's thing.
Right, and everybody thinks that, since I did something, it should have made a difference. Well, you didn't do enough, because guess what?
I was doing both.
Here's the thing, between the two, who does Canada love?
Marty.
Okay, and who are the majority of hockey fans?
In the majority of the world? Everyone. There's a huge world. I mean, I'm sorry. Russia does love
Answer the
hockey.
Question.
Russia does love hockey.
Answer the question.
I'm going to say
Canadians.
Yeah, I'm going to say Russians. There's more of them.
Canadians.
Russians. There's more of them.
They're not on the internet.
They're not on the
they
internet.
They don't have the internet. They don't have the internet in Syracuse.
They don't hack the interwebs?
No, they don't have the internet.
Okay.
That's a joke, guys. If anybody wants to write in and be angry, that's a joke. If you're in Russia listening, I'm sorry. Vodka.
Please hack the website and make lots of jokes about Jesse.
Yeah, by all means, say whatever you want. I went in with the mind frame that it would be Brodeur because he's Brodeur. If Brodeur wins, it's because he's Brodeur, not because EA Sports. It has nothing to do with EA Sports.
I think it's the Brodeur winning it is for his whole entire career.
Wasn't that supposed to be announced today? Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Okay.
Friday.
Well, that's fine. Also, him winning it for his career, also fine.
He's also the last goaltender to be on the cover.
Van Beesbrouck.
No, that was Brodeur.
No, you can look that up.
Yeah, actually, they
I will
showed
put
it. The EA showed that the last person that was a goaltender on the cover was...
It was Beezer.
Pretty 100% sure.
100% sure
EA
it was Beezer.
Posted this
look it up right now. Look it up right now. All look right. up Look up cover athletes. Well, my thing is, the cover athlete is not the best player at his position or in the league.
It's a fan vote.
Yeah, and the moment, especially in Madden, too, the moment they made it a fan vote, there was that.
It's never been the best player, period.
Right, that's my point. And people are all up and puff about how, Brett Favre, when Brett Favre got put on the cover, was he the best quarterback that year? No. He did take his team to the NFC Championship, but he wasn't the best player. So, and people threw a big fit. Oh, Brett Favre, he should have been... everybody was happy for Favre. Nobody threw a fit. Why? Because he had that great career. He deserved to be on the cover. Why not Brodeur?
They were upset because they had, like, all those other ones.
Also, Favre retired and then came back with the Jets. I'll never forget that year because they kept showing the highlights of that game where they were wearing the New York Titans uniform, that hideous dark navy blue with yellow stripes. And he threw like 6 touchdown passes in that game, so every highlight reel had that horribly ugly jersey. It's like every time they show Roethlisberger, he's always in those the Pittsburgh Penitentiary uniform.
Stripes.
They're so bad.
Well, he should be in stripes, but that's beyond the point.
Right.
Hockey. We're talking hockey.
Hockey.
And if anybody in Pittsburgh wants to bitch, you can suck our nuts.
Okay, so NHL hockey. I'm just going to go.
I really only think that Beezer's the only. He's the only one I can remember that was even a goalie that was on the cover.
Rod Brind'Amour.
Uh huh.
Was on it. Mike Richter. That's a goalie, right?
Richter. Okay, yeah.
No, I know that.
Was Brodeur? I know Pronger was there.
Pronger.
Neuendijk, I think, was... Not Neuendijk. Niedermeyer.
Ginla.
Heatley.
Sakic. Although they... Why there's two in sometimes a year? Marcus Naslund.
For overseas. European versus American.
Dion Phaneuf. There wasn't a... never mind. NHL 10 Kane.
It might have been. You might be thinking 2K. But for EA, I swear, Beezer's the only goalie. I can see Richter there. I didn't think of that, but Beezer's the only other one I can think of.
Actually, if going back to just NHL hockey 1991.
Yeah.
Glenn Heatley. And then 93 PA had Mike Richter.
Okay, yeah.
And that's it. 94, Sandstrom and Andy Moog, Boston. 95, Kovalev and Kirk McLean, Vancouver.
Okay, these guys weren't even like the greatest players at the time, so people don't realize
96,
that.
96, Scott Stevens and Yzerman.
Stevens, yeah.
97, Van Beansbrook,
Beansbrook, right. And Van Beansbrook that year was like 29, 19, and 7. He wasn't like Jesus Christ of hockey. But he did take the Panthers to the place where the Panthers had never been because they hadn't been a franchise
put
before
Yuri
that.
Lettinen on the cover of the year of Olin Nolan and
Yuri Lettinen?
Yep.
Are you kidding?
They put him on in the Dallas area alone by himself.
I was going to say.
Hold on.
I'm waiting for Brodeur.
They put Lundqvist on NHL 07.
Did
in
they?
New York area when Ovechkin was the cover.
I don't care
else.
About the areas. I want the full cover.
Well.
Broder's never been there.
Hold on.
I'm telling you. I played all the games. Up until recently.
Jonas Hiller was on the cover of 12, even though Stamkos was on it as well.
Stamkos was on the cover.
But they say Jonas Hiller was on the cover for the areas of Anaheim.
It doesn't matter. I don't know where you're pulling up these statistics from.
Wikipedia?
All you have to do is pull up the regular cover.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, you haven't found me where Brodeur was on the cover.
Nope, Brodeur was not on NHL
Thank
games.
You.
I
Give me the money.
I probably was on 2K.
Show me the money.
Okay, what money did we bet?
All right, so again, we've spent entirely too much time on a pointless subject that all of our friends are arguing about. I don't care. So what?
As somebody else pointed out on the cover thing, it's like, then he could actually get hurt in the next season.
Which doesn't happen in hockey either.
Yeah, but they always think of EA Sports games, the curse.
It really only goes to Madden.
And that doesn't even happen anymore. The curse has kind of got...
Yeah, with Fitzgerald flow.
Whoever cares.
Palomalu.
Yeah.
Fitzgerald and Palomalu that broke it, so...
Yeah.
And Calvin Johnson, they put him on the cover, and then he breaks the single-season receiving yard record, so that's dead. No, we just have a bunch of ignorant friends who like to talk before they think, and then they just argue over nothing.
We just have friends that like to argue.
Yeah, well, I think logic and actual facts kind of...
what are you talking about? Scream. If I'm the loudest, I'm right.
Right. Caps lock, anybody? Unfortunately, we can't use caps lock over the radio, so we just have to yell. If you want to, like, beep that, that's fine.
Nah, fine.
Beep it out before it gets to the West Coast.
That was totally clipped out, so it'll be hilarious.
Yeah. Awards. Do you have the awards pulled up? Does it matter?
I didn't pull them up. I'll pull them up now.
Yeah. Rocket Richard went to Marty St. Louis. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
San Luis showing that old guys that are 5'3" can still do something in life. I was surprised. Tampa Bay, man, Stamkos and San Luis. Watch out.
Except that St. Louis is retiring. Or
right.
He's old and...
Yeah, Stamkos is... Well, he's the man. If every first overall pick could turn out like Stamkos and Tavares,
although I don't
know, man.
Because without St. Louis there, is he really going to be the man?
Stamkos?
Yeah.
I think he can score 50 goals regardless.
Well, it was because St. Louis was on the other side, dishing the puck straight to
maybe.
His
and LeCavalier has also been
gone now.
Released, so... It'll be interesting because it'll be the Steve Stamkos show, and that'll be it. So
since there's nobody else there,
yeah.
All right, it's slowly pulling up.
He'll pull up. He'll put up Rick Nash numbers: 40 goals and 18 assists.
Oh, what's his name? The Ray Shiro obviously won GM of the year.
Yeah, that's fine.
Which, wow, way to get a whole lot of players together to win the Eastern Conference and not get to the Stanley Cup final.
GM, I always feel like GM of the year is like such a subjective.
Oh, it's totally. It's
thing.
A stupid rule.
Like, how do you judge?
I mean, you could. I believe there was actually two votes for our ex GM.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Well, he deserves it more than our current GM or all our current GM. And I know people hate to admit this, our current GM only got us Gabrick
and got rid of Dorsett and Brassard and
Mason. Right. Our current GM or old GM got us Bobrovsky, Anisimov, Foligno, Erickson, you can just go down the lines. Letestu.
Yeah, Mark Mathot at one point. Coach
Letestu.
Of the year, Jack Adams, coach of the year, Paul McLean.
That's right, the mustache. The mustache.
Seal.
That is a beautiful mustache. He deserved it just
the
because of the mustache.
Of seal.
Okay, he has a beautiful mustache. Don't be jealous.
No, I'm just joking about the what? What's his name called?
All right, keep talking the words.
Hold on.
Really, the only ones that matter otherwise are the Selke and the Bing, and the Calder.
Sorry,
I think the Calder went to.
I pulled up a website.
The kid from Florida.
Stupid.
Huberdeau.
Selke.
You just suck at being on the internet. That's all.
I went to a website that wants to pull up.
Clicking on those porn. Selke.
Patrice Bergeron won the Selke.
Yeah.
Best defensive forward.
Right, right. I'll give him that.
The other two people that were in that one, just so you know, because the greatest hockey player of all time is Pavel Datsyuk.
Datsyuk, right.
And Jonathan Toews.
Toews?
Don't tase me, bro. Name of my fantasy hockey team. Awesome.
Very
name.
Nice.
Jonathan Huberdeau, rookie of the year.
Yep, he deserved it. Though the rookies that were in that did really good this year.
Yeah, Brandon Gallagher was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Tuukka Rask wins. No, that's not right.
No, Crawford and Emery won the Jennings.
They said Vezina Trophy was outstanding goaltender winner Tuukka Rask on this website. So they're wrong.
Rask wasn't even in the top four.
No, he wasn't in the top. No, he wasn't, yeah.
It was. Yeah, thank you.
What the hell?
I don't know.
P.K. Subban winning.
The Norris.
Over Suter. And, oh, yeah, Letang wasn't in the list, according to this website.
Oops.
They had Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
You know who didn't belong there this year, who's probably never going to win another Norris? Zdeno Chara. He is not the man he used to be. And I'll give him credit. He's one of the best of our time, but he is, especially in the playoffs... He got exposed. He got exposed badly in the playoffs. And I hate to say that because I love Chara.
Yeah, the Art Ross Trophy went to Martin St. Louis.
Right. Oh, I said the Richard. My
yeah,
bad.
The Richard went to Ovi.
That's right.
The Hart also went to Ovi.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
What?
Oh, wait. No, actually, that's not bad.
What?
According to the
finalists. This is radio. You have to say it.
Yeah. According to the finalists on the Hart Trophy, they showed that it was between Ovi, Tavares, and Bobrovsky.
Hey.
And if Bobrovsky made the playoffs, he could have possibly won the Hart according to...
Maybe. I think Crosby was the other finalist.
Yeah, probably. But, I listened to lots of hockey podcasts, and one of them that I listened to, Heads Up MVW, or otherwise known as Merrick versus Wyshynski.
Uh-huh. Yahoo!
Wyshynski said that his vote was going to go for Bobrovsky if they made the playoffs for the Heart.
Fair enough. Well,
so those are all the trophies and everything.
Lady Bing.
Lady Bing, I don't care about.
Lady Bing's the oldest trophy.
Yeah, and it's just for the worthless player of the league.
Most gentlemanly.
Which means the player that didn't do any defense or didn't hurt anybody.
That's not true, because Datsuk's won it before.
Yeah.
He plays plenty of defense. He just doesn't take stupid penalties.
He doesn't hurt anybody.
God forbid. Sorry, guys. This pod sucks.
Yeah, whatever. We're back to not.
We're back, so.
It's been a year.
You can suck us.
NHL 13 awards again.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, whatever.
Doesn't matter. Season's over. The draft is in 3 days.
I want to see who was also the winner of, what's his name? The Best Recuperating Player Award.
It was a dude from whatchamacallums. The only person who could have possibly been to. Comeback Player of the Year?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his face? You know who I'm talking about?
No.
Well, fine. You find it. I think the real slight on this year was there was no All-Star Game. Because the All-Star Game would have been in Columbus this year.
Yeah, well, that doesn't happen.
So much disappointment there. We definitely could have... Well, it could have been interesting. I'm wondering what this year would have been like if it had been a full year.
Yeah.
This
is not the website that I wanted.
See, all Eddie would have had to have done was type in NHL.com, and he would have had everything he needed.
Okay.
So, but, you know.
It doesn't tell
Eddie
you.
Sucks at the internet.
I don't like NHL.com because it's their website. And
but it has all of everything that you could ever need.
If you ever try to look and try to find stuff in there, and you have to look deep down.
You're like three clicks away from anything.
Not really.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways, we're coming up on our second half an hour mark, so we're going to wind things down.
I need to look this up still, so we're going to keep going until it's over.
Number one rule you learn in radio is to not have dead air.
Or you do dead air for crazy moments like that.
So you want me to start singing Space Oddity again?
I'm just going to pull this up if we want to just keep going.
Put it in the outtakes.
Yeah, put it in the outtakes, and I'll just stop recording right now. And then.
All right, guys. Well, thank you again so much for listening to us. You can find us on Podomatic.
Yep, or Facebook. And
or iTunes.
And then I'm trying to figure out some way to pull up another website, because Podomatic kind of sucks for storage space.
Okay, so you'll be able to find us somewhere.
I'll definitely update everyone where to go to find us.
So you should be hearing this, hopefully...
Next week at the latest.
Next week, so once... I just posted 4 pictures of clouds.
All right. So, the Bill Masterton trophy, which was what I was trying to figure out, went to Josh Harding. Oh, you had MS and you played hockey? Well, I died. Sorry, I had to do the...
That was hologram Bill Masterton. Yeah. Also, I want to do a correction. The Selke went to Jonathan Toews, not to Patrice Bergeron.
Patrice Bergeron won the King Clancy Memorial Trophy for leadership and humanitarian contribution. The Messier Leadership Award went to Danny Alfredson, if you cared.
Who's a great player. I'm sorry that he's retiring. He's been one of my favorites to watch recently.
Oh, and yeah, of course, everyone needs to remember the William Jennings Trophy, which is Corey Crawford and Ray Emery, because they're the best team. Goaltenders from the club allowing the fewest goals.
I already said that.
Yeah, well, I don't think we said that on the thing.
I did say that.
Okay, well, fine.
Eddie sucks at listening.
Foundation Player Award went to Zetterberg.
That's fine. I'm sure he does great humanitarian things.
Yeah.
In Detroit, he gives out dollars for people that are homeless.
Oh!
The end.
Yeah, the end.
by the borderline. He started playing hockey by the time he was nine. His dad took the hose and froze the backyard. Little buddy dreamed he was Rocket Richard. He grew up big and he grew up tough. He saw himself scoring for the Windsor Canucks, but he wasn't that good with a puck. Buddy's real talent was beating people up. His heart wasn't in it, but the crowd ate it up. Through peewees and juniors and midgets and mites, he must have racked up more than 300 fights. Till a scout from the Flames came down from Saskatoon, said there's always room on our team for a goon. Son, we've always got room for a goon. There were Swedes to the left of him, Russians to the right, a Czech at the blue line looking for a fight. Brains over brawn, that might work for you. What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
Hit somebody!
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
Hit somebody!
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
Hit somebody!
What else can a farm boy from Canada do? Hit somebody was what the crowd roared when Buddy the Goon came over the boards. Coach, he'd said, I want to score goals. The coach said, Buddy, remember your role. Fast guys get paid, they shoot and they score. Protect them, Buddy, that's what you're here for. Protection is what you're here for. Protection, it's the stars who score. Protection, go and kick somebody's ass. Protection, don't put the biscuit in the basket, just hit somebody. It rang in his ears, blood on the ice ran down through the years. The king of the goons with a box for a throw, a thousand stitches and broken bones. He never lost a fight on his icy patrol, but deep inside Buddy only dreamed of a goal. He just wanted one damn goal. There were Swedes at the blue line, Finns at the red, a Russian with a stick heading straight for his head. Brains over brawn, that might work for you. What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
Hit somebody!
What else can a farm boy from Canada do?
Hit somebody!
What's a Canadian farm boy to do?
Hit somebody!
What else can a farm boy from Canada do? In his final season, on his final night, Buddy and a thin goon were pegged for a fight. 30 seconds left, the puck took a roll, and suddenly Buddy had a shot on goal. The goalie committed, but he picked his spot. 20 years of waiting went into that shot. The fans jumped up, and the Finn jumped too. And Cole caught Buddy on his follow through. The big man crumbled, but he felt alright. 'Cause the last thing he saw was the flashing red light. He saw that heavenly light. There were Swedes to the left of him, Russians to the right, a Czech at the blue line looking for a fight. Take care of your teeth, that might work for you. What's a Canadian?